Next piece.
Good morning, this is Paul Sigrist for the National Park Service. Today is Tuesday, July 28, 1992. I'm here in Clifton Park with Aniela Borek, who was born in Poland, left to come to America from Germany in 1949 when she was 29 years old. Also present in the room is Jenny Homiller, who was born in Germany and who accompanied Nine when she was about 2.5, and we are in Jenny's, when she was about 2.5, and we are in Jenny's home. I just want to say good morning to you.
Morning.
And can we begin by you giving me your full name, please?
The whole thing? No.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Go right ahead, say the whole thing, mm-hmm. And then you'll have to spell it.
Okay. It's Aniela, A-N-I-E-L-A. S-Z-E-L-I-G-A.
Could you say that, please, too?
Szeliga.
That's your maiden name?
Yes.
Okay.
My husband first. M-O-S-C-I-W-S-K-A. Mościwska. B-O-R-E-K. Borek.
So that is the first husband and a second husband?
Yes, yes.
And what is your date of birth, please?
July 30, 1919.
So, my goodness, this week is your birthday. Well, happy birthday. what town were you born in, please?
Wintownia. It's L with the thing,
yes,
above. L-E-T-O-W-N-A-A. I-A. Wintownia.
And that's in Poland?
That's in Poland, yes.
Where in Poland is that about?
It's Powiat Nisko, Poland.
Could you spell that, please?
P-O-W-I-A-T-N-I-S-K-O, P-O-L-A-N-D.
And that is that a province or county or something?
It was county, yes.
I see.
Yes.
Whereabouts in Poland is that, just in terms of the country?
It's south. Like from Rzeszów or Krakow, that way.
Can you describe the town for me?
The town was a farm. There was about 500 farmers and small farms. And we work on a farm. Work on a farm. And in the same time, we make some extra money. We make some biscuits, see, like this.
Was that a business making the baskets?
Baskets, yes.
Can you describe for me how you made the baskets?
Well, we got the forms, like, and the wickets, and just select that one. And then
right.
We just buy by hands, we can do everything.
What kinds of baskets did you make? Can you describe some of the different shapes for me? No, you please describe them in words.
Well, there were different kinds, all different kinds. No.
So that's okay.
Uh huh. Yeah.
With handles.
Yes, yes, yes. Different kinds. Yes. Mhm. You when you see someone like in a store, sometimes they underneath make in Poland. That's.
Now, to whom did you sell these baskets?
To the sellers, people, and they send to all over the world. I remember you in Japan. It was the America and Japan was the best customers for us, and
yeah.
We were busy. We make extra money because we have a small farm and make comfortable. We were quite comfortable and the standard of living for us wasn't bad at all.
Was this a cottage industry for your family or was this something a lot of people in town did?
Yeah, almost everybody.
Was there a factory where this was?
No, no, everybody made home, their own home. We have room, big room and... my father and my brothers and my brother and my sisters and I. And
where did you get the material to make?
Most of them, the wicket was from the best one from America.
So that's interesting. So the materials are imported.
Yes, and then yes, yes.
And then it was sent out.
Yes.
Do you remember how much money you would get for a nice basket? How much they paid you wholesale? I imagine.
They do wholesale. Compare like over here about dollar or so. That time was big money because I have three uncles by from after World War II. They left Germany. They were in Germany, and then went back to Poland. So they came over here. Two of them. I mean, they are all in. I have from my mother's side two uncles. They were here too. And my mother was here for 1 year in Massachusetts somewhere, but she was a young girl, but she was very sick and she came back to Poland.
I see. Mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit more about the town itself. How long did you live there?
About 20 years.
I see. So you basically grew up in this town.
Oh, yes.
Can
yes.
you kind of describe for me what the town looked like? Was it a big town, a small town?
There was about 500 houses, farms, and they have straw roofs, and it wasn't too big. We had about 3-4 rooms, and wasn't the water was running. The I was, it wasn't comfortable. I don't want to live over there at all now because I'm spoiled.
So
but you know, bring me because we don't know any difference. We were happy. We had enough to eat and well dressed, and it wasn't too bad. I mean,
what
but
was the house made out of? The roof.
Logs, heavy logs.
And you said you had 3 or 4 rooms.
Yes, yeah.
Upstairs and downstairs.
No, just one floor.
And how was the house heated?
By the wooden stove.
Where in the house was the stove?
Like in a corner. Yes, one corner.
Can you describe where you did the cooking in the house for me?
Well, there was brick stove like in the corner and a barroom. There was we have to put, make fire, and then we cook on the top of some kind of iron not stove but put in separately, and then behind that there was gray big long one that probably almost like this room. We bake bread there, about 12-14 loaves, about 4 or 5 pounds one, and lasts us, about 2 weeks or so. I mean, yes.
Did you help make the bread?
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about what the process was like? Where
well,
you
there
got
was
the grain and.
Oh, we got grain from the farm. Our own. Everything we have, everything what we raise, we have. We didn't buy just salt and sugar and things like that, but not anything else. We have everything. Make like sauerkraut, and we put like big. Dig big holes in the ground because there was over below zero, awful cold. I remember when my grandmother died in 1928, there was 48 below zero in not like American, how they call it, different?
Healthy.
Yes. And people was freezing. So we dig the holes, big holes, and cover with the straw and dirt like, and then we dig the potatoes as we need it, and they were really nice and crisp.
And that's how you kept things?
That's how we kept things. And we have another storage room, and we have like over the grain and everything, and we have our own flowers. I did myself too. We went to the Cambridge, Massachusetts. I see the thing
like a big mill.
Yes,
so
by
you
hand.
You milled your own grain.
Yes,
then.
That was hard job. I was younger.
How did you do it? How did you mill the grain? What was the problem?
Well, there was like small stool over here, and there was one stone, and then another in between, and hole in the middle, and we put the grain there, and we just mill and do it things. That I hated. It was so hard. Oh.
All right, now after the grain is milled, then what did you do with it to make the bread?
Like we put in a small, not in small, but we know for the barrel, wooden barrel has to be, and then we didn't use no yeast because most of them was rye bread. Only for holidays we make wheat bread and things like that, sweet bread and with the raisins.
So it's basically a heavy dark bread.
Yes, and we used to make we don't use the yeast cake, just ourselves sourdough with sour milk and things like that, and raised by themselves. And you should see the bread grows like that without yeast cake.
What other foods did you raise on the farm that you grew?
We have all vegetables, all of them, and potatoes and sour. We make sour.
Green vegetables or root vegetables?
Both. In winter time, we got only the root one. But summer we got fresh one because we have no storage to keep for the green one for winter. So we raise everything, like sweet peas and beans and potatoes and sour and cabbage and cauliflower and different things like that. Everything.
Did you eat a lot of meat?
No meat.
No meat. Why?
Because there wasn't any. In the fall, they butcher one pig, big one, before Christmas, and they some of them they smoke, some they put salt salt pork, something like that. That's all we have. But there was not like over here meat.
Did you raise animals?
Yes.
What did you have for animals?
We have horses and cows and pigs and chicken and dogs and goose and everything.
Were any of the animals pets as opposed to just farm animals?
Yes, were pets. Yes, only was cats.
Do you remember any of your cats' name?
I just remember dog was Burek, B-O-B-U-R-E-K, Burek, because he was brown. That's why but cat, I don't remember the name. No, not the cat, but they remember. And I still remember, because everybody has a big protection dogs, because they were stealing and things like that, you know. So I remember when one dog died, you know, the whole house was crying because you're attached to the animal. Yeah.
Did you grow flowers on the farm?
Yes, gardening.
What kinds of flowers did you grow?
I can't explain too much. Like pansy and all different kinds, but I can't.
The summers very short? Was it mostly cold and the summers were short?
No, it was hot. In summer it was hot. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, so when I was about 7 years old, I watched the cows and horses on a pasture, on a rope. I had about 2-3 cows and one little calf. And they were so lovely that I just hugged him. But you know, the whole day on the field, watch those cows, it was really something too.
And you were 7.
I was. Oh yeah, there was something. You know, we just go in school and then come home and go either work on the field or there were small children.
Would you say that for a small child, what you were expected to do was hard work?
Well,
was it tough for a 7-year-old to do all these chores?
Well, so we did, yes, 7, 8. We went on a field and dig and get some, gathering some food for the cows. We go in between like potatoes and wheat and dig the wheat. I mean, the different kind of wheat for the cows, and bring home a new bag. That was really hard, honestly, God. That was.
How did you bring it back? Did you have a little rack?
No, we have like a blanket. I mean, another thing, we have our own linsing they call, the linen, everything our own we make.
Linen.
And then clothes, I mean, for underwear.
What did your clothes look like when you were a little girl? Can you describe what?
Nothing to be proud of, believe me. At least I was lucky I had shoes. But most children, only winter time, you go to school with the shoe, when the shoes time, because it was cold, and came home, you had to put the shoes away, just walk barefooted, because you have to save the shoes for, you know, for whole season.
Where did you get the shoes?
Well, most of them was custom made when I was.
There was a cobbler in town.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Tell me about school. How old were you when you started school?
I was 6 years old, and I was finished when I was 12.
Tell me a little bit about what going to school was like in that environment.
Well, we went like 8 o'clock in the morning there, we have school half a day, about 5 hours anyway. And we didn't learn much because we were small, you know, not least. I mean, there was no high school where I was growing up. Just, you know, I was like sixth grade education. But since I came over here, I didn't go to school either, except for my citizen's paper, because she was a little one. We didn't have no money for the babysitting, and you have to work during the day. But
was the school in Poland just a single room?
No, there was about four rooms.
How did you get to the school?
Well, I was lived close, like almost across the street to the school, so I walked to the school. And everybody, even some of them, they live about 6-7 miles, and they walk. The snow was like that to the field, to the school. But there was just that way, and nobody was surprised or anything.
Do you remember any of your teachers?
Yes.
Tell me about the teacher that you remember, the teachers that you remember.
Oh, I have one teacher. Her name was Sophie Falorzanka, and she was a mean one. She was just like, you know, strict. And then I have like principal. His name was Adolf. Kolbuszewski, that's, you know. He was friend of my father, and he was really nice, and he tried to help us to get better education.
How would they punish you if you were bad?
Well, they punish you well.
How? What did they do?
They got a big stick, and they punish you over here, and sometimes you get over here too, especially boys.
Did that ever happen to you? Were you ever punished?
not that way, no. I think I got some on my... But
what kind of games did you play as a little girl in Poland?
We have all homemade, I mean, ourselves, we made the different kind of dolls and things like that. We have hopscotch, and we play different things, but I can either prescribe how... How was it? But we play a lot though, yes. We have a lot of friends, and like I said, we grown up, I mean, especially in my home, we were well off compared, but different kinds. But the friends I have, one friend was my best friend, like somebody usually have best one. They were very poor, and there were seven children, and the mother died, and the father very young. That the oldest brother take of them. So how many times I steal bread from my home and give it to her, to give it to the sisters, because I feel sorry for them. They didn't have no shoes. They couldn't go to school. That was, or some, believe me, there was private, how they call it, private. Yes, the old people, they live so poorly that it was, when I see now, I think to myself, my God, how the people went through. Some of them, they were so old people, and they were alive, but they were, you know, under nourishment. They haven't got even, for meat, forget it, but even, they have bread, often and once a while, some potatoes, but most of the time, they were hungry. So my mother, she was hard, she was a very good woman, and she be sorry for them. So like Saturday morning or Sunday morning, she give me some things like cheese or butter or eggs or even flour and milk to bring to the poor people to help them to survive some. So when I'm over there, I keep telling her many times, the old the babushki, they said, oh, God bless you, child, and give you the luck in your life. Yes, you and your mother too, because she's such a good woman. That life was really real life.
When you were a small girl, did you understand the difference between your life and how poor the other people were?
Yes.
Was that noticeable even
at that
age?
Oh yes.
Did your mother or father ever?
Not my father. My father was stock up men because she was a little bit better than the other ones, and but my mother gave it the way
she understood, so he
would know. So that's the truth. Yeah.
What kind of religious mix was in this town?
About 99% was Catholics, and every Sunday we have to go to the church. There was no excuses.
So your family was Catholic?
Oh yes. And we have friends and neighbors, Jewish, and they were really friendly with us. We were quite friendly. My sister, she got her age, Jewish girl, and she came to the house and she went over there. But they were so strict about kosher that they wouldn't eat in your house whatsoever.
Do you remember any kind of a persecution of the small Jewish population?
Absolutely not. They have every right, because every Saturday they went to the synagogue. Because there was, in the family where I was brought up, there was about maybe 10, 11 families only. And they have small, like not a synagogue, but big house, and they worship, but only men. And boys after 13. But the woman didn't go to it, because it was like, you know, they have those things, how they call it, Orthodox.
Yes, the pipe.
Yes,
the
yes, yes. So they were completely different than different religion. But there was no persecution whatsoever. I mean, sometimes they complain, but when I was growing up, on Saturday, they go to the synagogue, and nobody bothered them or anything.
Tell me about your religious life. Tell me about what you remember about church life in this town.
Well, I was a little girl. I remember they take you to church to get probably used to it or something like that when you're small. So once, I remember, I don't know how old I was. I was probably very young, but my sisters, they were with me, and they told me that I was fight with them, and they took me out from the church. And that time I was grown up, you have to go to church no matter what. Either, winter time, some people didn't go, but they didn't have no shoes. But summertime, all older women, they go barefooted. They walk about 6-7 miles to church. And then in church lasts about the high mass about 3 hours. And there was no pew for anybody. And there was like a cement floor.
Did you just stand or sit?
Stand, a nail or stand. And only was few pupils for like teachers and older people in the middle, but not too many, very few.
Did they have a choir in the church?
Yes, choir and an organ. There were big churches in Europe, awful big churches.
This was a big church.
There was a big church.
Was this the only Catholic church in the town?
Yes.
Do you remember the name of the church?
St. Catherine, yes. And there was the name of St. Catherine because one lady, her name was Catherine, and she sent the money to start with the church. St. Catherine, yes.
Let's talk about your parents. What was your dad's name?
My name, my parent was Jan, J-A-N.
What was his profession?
Oh, excuse me. I'm going to tell you first about the family.
Okay.
My mother married twice, brothers. World War One. My mother's first husband was hanged right over by the church. There was about 8 or 8 men. Because they sometimes queer on them that they did something, but it wasn't so. But there was Hungarian, they hanged them, and right there. And every Sunday we go by to church where they were hanged. It was quite a few men. So my mother, she remarried his brother. So I was the first child of the second husband. Yes. And my father, I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't want to even talk to about with my granddaughter. He was very strict and mean man. And I have sisters by the first husband, and he was he didn't respect us at all, and the mother either. By my mother, she was angel.
What was her name?
Maria, Mary,
what
Maria.
What was her maiden name?
Hovanec.
Can you spell that, please?
Chowanec. Hovanec.
Was she from this town in Poland?
No.
Where was she from?
She was from next town. Only from next town. She, yeah.
Can you describe in words what your mother looked like?
She was nice looking woman, but when she was younger, but after she was worn out, because like I said, her husband, my father, he wasn't so
difficult.
She had a tough life, and after she was really worn out, and she lost all her teeth, and there was no way to get teeth, and her life was really tough.
What was her personality like? You said she was an angel. What?
She wouldn't hurt anybody. She was very friendly, and she talked to everybody, and she was she respect everybody, and she was a very good mother. She give us things which she could have, but she gave it to us too, because you were young, and she said, you girls, you need it. You know, there was five of us in a family, to have sisters, cousin and sisters, the oldest one, you know, by his
husband.
Then the second, I was the oldest, and then I have brother, he was the younger, and then the youngest was the sister. But between us children, there was no difference that we were not there wasn't any difference that they were different than us, but between mothers either, but the father, he respect us better than the oldest one, and that was really tough.
Were there grandparents around?
And my father father was died very young. I was even born, and my grandmother, she died. My father's father, she lived with us. She died when she was about 78 years old. I still remember she wasn't sick. She just lay down and died. She was another woman. She was when my mother, she went on the field work. She watched us when we were small children, and she was very good with us.
What do you remember about your grandmother?
Oh, she got the woman that got big buckets in the skirts, and she always had something for us, and she said, when we're gonna be good, you're gonna get something. So she get things for us, and she was really a good woman. And my mother's parents, I remember the grandfather, I remember the grandmother, and she lived with my aunt. Where my mother came from.
The other town.
Yeah, another town, about 3-4 miles. So every time she came, I mean, it was poor, but she always had something for us, to treat us. So we look forward when she comes. And
what do you remember about your mother's father? Your grandfather on your mother's side. What memory sticks out in your mind about him?
Well, he was very jolly. And quick, he was old man, but he walks about 3-4 miles to come over us, and he got gray hair, and the wrong one. That's what they was most the man they, and he talked so quick, and he wasn't like the grandmother. He was more like outsider. So when he comes, he stayed for a little while only, and he went back, and I'm not gonna bother you because he got so much work to do. He told my mother.
Now, was your mother sort of in charge of running the farm, would you say, or did your
and most men
active part in that?
Well, most men, they take care on the field with the horses and plows and things like the heavy job. But the woman, they do much more than a man. They work on the field, come home, take care of the livelihood, like for the milking the cows and feed every animals, and then cook for us when we were small. And I don't know how they did it. So believe me, they work about 20 days, 20 hours a day, summertime anyway.
What was your favorite food that your mother made, or was there something that you remember very much?
Yes, I like cream of wheat. I loved it. And I have buckwheat. Did you ever have buckwheat? Yes, that I...
Now, did you grow all that stuff?
Oh, yes, everything. Sometimes it's leftover, so my father used to sell the things. Oh yeah, you've grown everything. It was hard job, believe me.
What did your dad look like in words? Looks like you.
Yes.
How would you describe that?
He got like long nose like mine, and exactly like, really like me. But bigger than my mother's legs. Big, big knuckles. But otherwise I look like my... I look like my father, but I act like my mother, because even Jenny said how good a mother I was, and I still am. Yes.
Tell me a little bit about what you would do for fun on the farm. You worked hard a lot, but what would you do that was fun?
Not really much, though. No, because even on Sunday we have to go on the field and watch the cows or horses the livelihood, like as a chicken, things like that. And there wasn't much fun, no? And we have to go like summertime, we go to church like in the morning, and we go in the afternoon too for the service.
Did you have any household chores that were yours specifically? Like, did you have to do something specific in the house?
Yes.
What was your job?
Well, like when I was smaller, I peeled potatoes, because you have to, seven of us, we have a great big pot to cook potatoes. So I peeled them, and I get ready vegetable too when I was a little bit bigger. But when I was big, from in the morning to night, that's what I make.
You were making the baskets.
And then my father, he went to the city with the baskets, and he didn't bring much money because he was in. That was really tough, believe me.
So really, the I'm going to just pause for a moment. We're now resuming the interview.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, as a little girl in Poland, did you know anything about America? And what did you know about this country?
Yes.
Because your mother was here briefly.
Yes, and I know, because my uncles, he write to my grandmother, and they send them Dallas once a while. That's why she was such a good with us, that she get something for us when we're going to be good. So she buy them, $1 was 9-10 Zlotych, you can buy awful lot. There was all silvers, and you can that for $1 was really a lot of money at that time. So she get the dollars once a while, and she was especially with us, with the grandchildren. She was really very good.
Are these your dad's brothers or your mother's brothers?
Two of them was my mother's brothers, and three my father's.
Do you know when they went to America?
Yes, three of them. Two of them I don't remember when, but I mean not remember, but I don't remember what happened. But three of them, they were like slave laborers like we were in World War I in Germany, and then they didn't want to come back to Poland like I did, and they came to this country.
Where did they come when they came to this country?
One was in New York, and one I heard was in Massachusetts, but then when my grandmother died, they stopped to write.
Do you know what they were doing when they got here? What kind of jobs they had?
No, I don't know.
So when you were growing up, what when you thought about America, if you ever thought about America, did it mean to you?
You know what I mean to us, not just to me, but to my friends and to my family, about that America is like paradise. Yes.
Tell me how your mother ended up here for 1 year, whatever the short amount of time she was here in Massachusetts.
I remember she brought quite a bit things from, I mean, very big, not suitcase, but like hop chest or things like that, and full of everything, like clothes and things like that. So I still, I mean, there was, you know, quite a few years after, she still got the clothes and everything, and she described how the people work over here and how they live and everything. And
why did she come here?
Because she said something was about her health, the water and the air and everything, that she couldn't, she was sick all the time she was here.
What year did she come? Do you remember? Were you alive when she came, or was it
before? Oh, no, she was young, single.
Oh, I see.
Mm-mm, I wasn't.
Well, what would inspire her to come here? Was there a family member here already?
No, there was immigration.
Right.
Or, I mean, that's why she, lots of people came over here and they stay, like interview, you know, they stay. After 1 year that I...
She went back.
She went back. Okay. After 1 year that I, that's why I remember.
I didn't ask you, and I should before we get too far along, to name your brothers and sisters.
Well, all of them?
Yes, all mm-hmm. of them.
The first one, the oldest one was Ketrin.
And that was from the first?
From, era? Yes. And the second was Agnes.
Also from the first
one. Oh, yes. But then I was the first one. And then my brother was Stanley, like Stanislav, they call. And my the younger sister, she's Emilia.
How old were you when your brother was born?
Well, I was born in July 1919. My brother was born in February 1922, and my sister, the youngest one, in July 1925. Yes.
Good, then maybe you can answer this question. What do you remember about your mother being pregnant and the whole experience in a town like this in Poland?
You know, the youngest one, even the youngest one, I couldn't remember much. I just remember that some lady came over, and then I see the baby, but nothing else. Yes, I was all in was about what, 6, 7 years.
Your mother, of course, was probably still working out in the field.
Of course, of course.
I was wondering how, you know, what it was like to be a pregnant woman at that time under those circumstances, and what you might remember of that.
Not just that time, but even after, the woman worked to last minute on a field or here and there, and they said that was the best thing for a woman to have exercise, and then they got no trouble with the birth.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember that she was pregnant, but I remember something then. Some lady came over to the house, and then we have baby. That's what I remember. Many times I was thinking about why I don't remember.
When you were a little girl, what frightened you? What were you frightened of as a little girl?
Bogeyman. That's what there was. All that was something about it. Bogeyman, and then burgers, because they came sometime, and drunkards. Because there was really something, the men.
Was there a tavern in town?
Oh, yes, yes. Mm. But the women, they didn't drink, they didn't smoke. They just work and bear the babies. But the men, they go to the bar and they get drunk and they get nasty, mean, and beat up the women, the wives, and children.
So really, it's a hard life.
Oh,
all
God,
all
believe me.
Board.
Yes, awful hard life.
Did any of your... perhaps your grandparents or maybe your mother and father ever tell you folk stories or local stories, something that was very specific to that part of the world, like fairy tales perhaps? Or
They didn't say much about that, but I remember my father, he was in World War I in Russia, and he said that was very tough, and they were talking about with the friends and everything, and they said that when the food was good in Germany, I mean in Russia, and everything, and they were almost freezed to death. And they said they're going to pray to God that there will be never war again. And then when World War II came, I always remember his words that was worse yet.
So he liked to talk about
yes,
war stories.
Yes,
mm-hmm. That's interesting. Well, let's speed you along in your life here. Uh-huh. So you were in this town until you were about 20, you said.
Yes.
Now, why did you leave the town? What happened when you were a young adult that...
I mean, why I left because there was World War II, 1939 started war in 1940.
So you were, what, 20 in
20, yes. So now, everything was shut down, and people was very afraid because the Germans came over here and they can do anything. When the German came over with the tanks and everything and the bombs, the people, they got wild and crazy. They don't know what to do with themselves. They're running around, but they don't know where to go to.
They were just kind of blindly frightened.
Yes, it was so sudden, too. So in 1940, February 7, the Germans came over, not just over my house, but there was millions of young people they pick up, and just drag us to Germany, and we work on a farm in Germany. I just say we because there was, many, many people. And like summertime, it was really tough, not that tough. It was yet because we're slaves. You don't know if you're going to be alive next day or not because they might pick you up and put to a concentration camp and kill you for nothing.
How did they take you? Describe how the Germans came into the town for me.
Well, they were there anyway.
They were already there.
Oh, yeah, because...
When did they first get...
In 1939, in the war started, February.
And in your town, exactly what happened?
There was all the way with the bomb.
They bombed part of
the bomb, yes. And they killed, people were killed already. And after, there was really chaos because they have Polish soldiers on the field, and the Germans, they came with the big things. And they were bad. I can't even prescribe how were they. And then they right now they take the people to Germany and work. Or
how did they bring you to Germany?
On a train.
And what was that like? What was the train ride like?
Oh, there was February. There was long time too, long process because they took me on February 7, and I got in Germany February 14. So we were here and there in a train, and then we stopped. We were there for a few days in Krakow. I remember it was high school. We stayed there and we slept on the floor for about 4 or 5 days, or even more. And then we came to. They took us to Germany and on a farm. They're waiting for us already. And I came to the farm, and next day they wake me up, and I just go to. They told me, I mean, I didn't understand German, but didn't take me a long time to learn. I mean, when you're young, especially when you're with them all the time, they show me that I'm gonna milk the cows and clean them, and I'm gonna clean the barn and everything. I said, oh God, again. So summertime was really bad. We get up about 3 o'clock in the morning, go on the field, get the food for the cows, come back, feed them, milking them, and clean the barn, and have something to eat, coffee and bread, and go on the field, work until about 12 noon. And we came home, we came back on the farm, and clean the barn again, and milking cows, and we had dinner. There was, I didn't say that I was really hungry. God punished me. We have now bread in Germany, thanks God. and then we finish up and ready to go on the field and work about 11 o'clock at night. I was, I don't know, the strongest one or foolish one or something like that. That I got the men's job. We, I don't know how they say, we have the big, you know, we cut the
size?
Yes, yes. Like, just like men, all day. And I don't know how we did it, though. And then the next day, 2 o'clock in the morning, the knock on the wall, and to get up already. It was about 3 o'clock again.
I'm still curious how the Germans got you out of the town in Poland. I mean, did they just come knocking on the door? How did they take you?
Just came over and go, and that's it.
And they threatened force, I assume.
No. Because we know that we're not going to resist. You know what I mean? And, well, maybe even, I don't know if it is important, because when they either take you or you have to hide yourself in some place, my sisters told me that they dig the hole under the some kind of barn, but they destroy it. They just said they dig it. So every night they sleep like under the ground, because during the night they come and look for the young people to get them taken away. So she told me, she said, maybe you are lucky that you went over there. At least you sleep in bed. And we did it for over five years.
Now, are you the only one from your family who was taken?
I was to Germany, and my brother was in Austria.
I see. Where in Germany? Do you know where this farm was?
Yes, Bavarian.
Within Bavaria.
Bavaria, yeah.
Can you describe where you slept on this farm?
There wasn't too bad, except there was no heat. When you get up in the morning, you got ice on your feather bed, because there was no heat. It was awful cold over there, like in Poland. We have about this much snow on a window, maybe like in December, and then maybe we can stay light like end of March or so, because there was this much snow on the windows. But we have heavy the feather beds and everything. And the Germans people, they have like special hot bottles with hot water, and they keep on the stove, and they put in, before they went to bed, they put in so they would at least they get something warm. But we didn't have any, and you can get many. So once, there was quite a few times, but once I put, they have 1 liter of butter from beer, mm-hmm. and I put hot water in it, you know what happened? And broke. I have ice. That is this.
So actually, you were fairly well maintained. I mean, they wanted their work out of you, so they kept you as healthy as they could.
Yes. We can be, I mean, they try to feed us as best they can, really. I cannot complain. We can eat what we want, but at least we got enough bread.
Where's your mother during all this? Is she still back in the town?
Oh, yes.
They left her.
Oh, yes. My father and my two sisters.
Why didn't they take the sisters?
Because they were hiding. They knew already.
I see.
Yes.
So you were working on this farm mm-hmm. for 5 years.
Yeah.
What did you know of what was going on around you?
Not much. They won't tell you. But we knew that something gonna happen very soon. And where I was working on a farm, their farmer has 7 sons in a war. And one was, when I came over there, he was kind of like a friendly person, because German people somehow, they are cold. They don't, even for their own, they are not as like the grandmothers, you know, some they hug you and things like that, not, but one son, he, when he came there, he wasn't at the war yet. So then after he went to the war, and when he came over, he said, we asked him, what's going to happen? He said, I shouldn't say that, because after they find out that I told you, they're going to hang me up and you too. But we didn't say anything. He said, you know, we're going to lose the war. But if he, but you were, I mean, I said, I bet you we're going to won the war. You never get out from this barn. The war, you never get out from this barn for your life. That's what he told us. But he said, if somebody else find out that I told you, I'm gonna be hanging you too, because they were hanging people.
Were you allowed to write out? I mean, was there any communication with your family during that time?
For a while, yes. Very, very short time. And after, when they start war with the German, with the Russian, then everything stops. You can't.
Where do you suppose the produce that's being grown and the milk, where is it going?
I mean, from Germany?
Yeah.
Oh, they took everything. Almost.
Was this being cultivated for use by the troops? The milk and the vegetables?
Oh, yes, the potatoes. Oh, especially for the troops during the war, yes. Mm-hmm. Although it was very strict with the food. We were lucky that we have on a farm, because you got, like they call betukchai, or, you know, let you kill one pig, but they was, you know, like black market too. They have about maybe 15, 20 pigs to raise. And when they got permission to kill one, they somehow they know when they gonna come the to check up what you got, how many you know, cows, and they hide the pig somewhere. They took him away. So after, when they got betusha for one, they killed two or three. So we have during this winter, we have more meat that in Poland. Oh yes.
Did you have to wear a uniform? Did they give you clothes of some sort?
Wooden shoes. This high winter time, winter time wasn't much for work on a farm, so we went to the forest and cut the hand, you know, the big saw, the heavy one, right from the barroom, the snow about those two, and we cut the wood and cut the tree, and we with the wood cut two small pieces with the wooden shoes. The wooden shoes was this high, and the snow go underneath this high, and I don't know how we were safe that we walk, and we got some food to bring with us, but was below zero. The food was frozen, but we ate because we were hungry. Then we came home. There was no heat whatsoever, no worse, except the barn. So we were the lucky to come in the barn and warm up a little bit.
Were there Jewish women there also, or were they all Catholic?
There was, where I was working, there was 11 people, French, PLW, how they call? There was two of them, PLW, and Serbian, and Greeks, and Polish, and Belarusian, they were there, the Ukraine, there was 11 of us, different kinds of nationality, not just. I heard that there were Jews somewhere, but there was some kind of cover up that they were not.
And all of these people were in similar situations as you, where the Germans had come in and plucked them out specifically to work in the.
Oh yes, because the German people was either office, or, you know, most men was in a war, so who would not do it, the job, and they needed the products.
Towards the end of that 5 years, had you just kind of given up hope of ever?
No,
getting out again?
No, because some people, I don't know, I mean, there was really something, but they had like short wave from hours, and they said that war, they're going to lose another, they're losing war, they're going to lose another thing. The people know that their sons or husband or fathers, they were like most by the, in the Russian, and they said that many, many kills. And they got some kind of signal, some kind of numbers from them that they're gonna be dead. And they were, most of them. You should see the people, the mothers and the brothers, I mean, and sisters and grandmothers, how they cry for their grandsons or You think they were happy that there was the war? They hate Hitler, but what you gonna do? They really.
So it seems like to me one thing that really kept everyone's hope up and their energy up is the fact that you were all doing these kind of sneaky things.
Yeah,
you've
yeah.
got the shortwave radio, and you're hiding the pigs in the woods.
Some did that because, but yeah, I'm gonna tell you that since 1940 about two. The English people came at night. There were so many aeroplanes at the go, you know, that we can even see. We were working on a field. You can even see the sun. There were so many aeroplanes, and the noise, the earth was shaking. And then during the night, English came over. So then that was bombarded. That boom, 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 and boom, boom, boom. The German people were scared, and they know this is end of it. But us, you know, Outlanders, our foreigners, we were happy that something, sometime we're gonna be free. And so they told us when the airplane came. So they probably see us, or I don't know. Probably they did, because it was very, very low. So when Germans was not there, so we just waved to them, and they know that we are there. I mean, of course they know, but when the German was there, we couldn't do it. We had to lay down in the ground, and you know, toward the end, you know, the bombs go back and forth, boom, 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 boom. So we were afraid that might something happen because they were very close to us. But I figured if I'm still alive, I'm gonna be free someday. And 1945, April 27, they came over to the town where we were working. First time in my life I see Negro in a big tank, big guys, big hands. I said, oh. But we were free, and they were not I don't know, they feel us that we are already free, and some speak German, some of them, I mean from the military men, and some speak Polish, and some speak, I mean most of them English, of course. And they said that we don't have to work anymore, and we're gonna be free, and they're gonna attack us soon, Sambres. And they evacuated our not us, but you know, the farmers, wherever they went, and they told us not to go and work like in a barn, but the cows was, you know, making noise because they were hungry, they grabbing milk. And we did, because for the sake of for the cows, or for just, you know. So then we were there until May, I think June, and then they came over and take us to the military barracks, and Sophie, it's they came over and they took us in a truck, and we went over there. And we were there until about 4 years, and then we come over here. And
the group, when you were liberated, if you want to use that term, was it still that core group of people that had been there from the beginning, or had there been an influx of other people brought into the farm to work?
No, just after that. No. When we left, they came over so slowly. But we were still working, because what else, they said to stay here, and I mean, how are you going to eat and live with them for 5 years and not to work? You feel guilty somehow, because they wasn't their fault that we were there. There was the big shots, you know. Another thing, the landlord, one son was SS.
The man who owned the farm.
The man, his son, yeah. And he was like pilot, military pilot. And the mother of the sons, she was really afraid that something gonna happen to them, but I don't know where they were. They didn't come back from the war. They didn't, some of them. And the mother, they got some kind of black things, you know, from the they put something on the SS and things like that. So she shredded everything piece by piece, and we dig under the heavy. They used to keep like potatoes, things like that. So they, when the American comes, they won't find things like that, and she burned things like that. And she was really, I feel sorry for the ordinary people, German people, because they tried to. They took everything from the church and everything, and they were over there. There were Catholics too, the bells and everything. They were really. You can have no light at night. They have to have some black things to cover up everything because they was afraid. It wasn't easy for them either. Just, you know, they were free, but still they suffer as we are. They were afraid that the bomb gonna come over and kill everybody, and that's it.
How did you feel when the farm was liberated? When you were told everything was all right?
Happy. Everybody was so happy. The hockey said, "Yeah, then we are free. We are free. We're gonna go home. We're gonna go home." But after we find out that communists is there, so we don't want to go home.
Communists in Poland, you mean?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Now, why didn't you want to go to a communist environment?
Oh, God. Because
we hear that. What did you know of a communist environment?
We knew about that. You know why? Because there was Russian people. When the German people go right through the Russian or Poland or Ukrainian, they get the young people to come to the German, to working. And the Russian people told us how bad it is under the communists. But they force; they don't want to go over there back either. But they some kind of, in the Yalta, Roosevelt and Stalin and was Churchill, they make the arrangement that when the war is over, the Russian people has to come back. But we didn't have to because you were like under the Russian communists. So they came over, they tried to get us. The Polish military.
But you didn't want to go.
No. They even men. They turned over their cars and they burned them and they chased them out and they never came back after us again. I said, "Oh my God, please don't take us over there."
Did you want to see your family?
Oh yes, but it was impossible until 1979, I went over there to see them. But my father, my parents was already dead. So, but she see them.
So you stayed.
My grandfather, anyway.
You stayed in this Germany for four more years.
Four more years. Yes.
Where? Do you remember the name of the town? Or?
Yeah, they call it Wildflecken. Wildflecken.
That's okay. We'll look it up on the map.
Yeah, no, I think she got. You got one here. Well, anyway, it's some place over here.
Where did you stay in this town?
In military.
You were still in the military installment for 4 years.
Yes, but under the American, we were free.
What was that like?
Wasn't too good either. There was no food. When she was born, I got half a pint of milk a day, skim milk for her. There was no juices. No, I mean we just survived.
Had you married in the interim somewhere when?
I don't understand.
When did you get married? Before this all happened?
No. Yeah, I was married in 1945 in September.
Oh, so in Germany.
You're a displaced person. That's what they call DP, displaced person.
What was your husband's name?
Jakub.
And so that's. The first husband, right, so that's, if you could just say his name, please. Yes. Could you just say the name, please?
Jakub Mościwski.
Right. And how did you meet him?
He worked next town where I was working. So I meet him.
And so this is after you're in the military installation at this point?
No, we were on the farm yet when I met him, yes. Yeah. Matter of fact, we came on the same train, but I mean, I don't know him, but after.
So how did you, if you were busy working in the farm all day, how did you have a chance to meet someone?
once a month we can go to church, not the regular church, but there was hospital, and by the hospital was chapel. So we went once a month. They allow us to go to church. So we just, you know.
That's how you met him.
That's how
was
I met him.
Was he Polish also?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So and then Jenny was born at the military installation.
Oh yes, she was born November 5th, 1946.
What was it like being with child at the military installation?
That's what I was going to say. Believe me, there was no place to go. We were not sure that we were going to go to over here. I mean, I go to Poland, and we can stay for a while in Germany, because even some people now, they stay, they have to, they complain that they lost their health and they can emigrate. They only bring over here really are healthy people. We went to the hell, to the commission and everything, to the doctors and everything. So they are still there, and Germany has to support them. Yes. And some of them, they really, even myself, through the whole thing, I was so tense and everything. I got problems too myself, emotional. I go to doctors, take medicine, but still I'm not all that.
Why did you decide to come to America as opposed to a different country, perhaps?
Yes, we could. This was in our mind, even from my childhood, the best country in the whole world, and it is. It is, though. Believe me. Because this is my third country I live. But God bless America.
Tell me a little bit about the process of getting the papers and going through the physicals in Germany, mm-hmm. so that you could be allowed to leave. Mm-hmm. Tell me what some of those...
Well, first of all, we got like cards. And we, oh, by the way, you have to have sponsor. So we got sponsor. My first husband family, they live in Carnegie, Pennsylvania. And then they are sending our... The invitation. But meanwhile, the uncle died. And we didn't want that they fret, you know, we're going to be burden on them. So they transfer us to my husband, a distant cousin, on a farm in Richfield Springs in New York.
What was the name of the town?
Richfield Springs.
Richfield
Springs, yeah. And we came over here on a farm, not at all.
So how, you've got a sponsor then. You've got this person on the phone.
You had to, yeah.
And then, what papers did you have to get?
We got have like a birth certificate and marriage, and go to a doctor's quite a few times.
They took blood
and different kind of tests, and you have to be really. They don't want to bring sick people over here. So we were. Yeah, but that was in German and English, but we didn't understand English, so we did all the papers in German.
Because Jenny was a baby, was there anything specific for a baby that they had to go through? Was her blood tested and all of
no,
that?
No.
They figured if you're all right, she's
yeah,
all right.
Yes, yeah. Yes, not, they didn't do anything for the babies.
Were you communicating with your mother and father by letter or anything while you were living in Germany?
After the war?
After the
no,
war.
You couldn't. No, you couldn't. I didn't until I came over here.
It wasn't until you got
yes,
here.
Yes, yeah.
What port did you leave from?
Bremerhaven, Germany.
And what was the name of the boat?
General Harry Taylor.
General Harry Taylor?
Yes.
Oh, I've interviewed other people who were.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
Been
yeah.
on that boat.
It was nice boat, especially with the children. We had the officers' cabinet, so we were lucky. But the men, they have to stay, you know, with the private soldiers, so just, you know, upstairs, and they sleep on here and there. But we were, and the food, my God, in my life, first time I see the food, but I couldn't eat too much because I was afraid that I'm going to be sick. But the children, they were not sick at all. They were...
Was your fear well-founded? Did you get sick while you were on the boat?
I wasn't. I wasn't, don't feel well, because one night was really, Before we came over here, just one night, it was really, you know, the boat was go up and down and here and there. That was kind of scary. But
is this the first time you've been on a big boat?
On a big boat, yes.
What was it like the first time you saw the boat before you got on it? What ran through your mind when you saw this huge boat?
Blew me. I was so happy that I don't even think too much about it. And we stopped over from Bremerhaven to Chennai by England. They pick up the mail. And then we just drove like, when you see the food over there and everything. And especially with the children, they got, you know, a special privilege. So they just...
How long was the boat ride?
About 10 days.
That's
not
bad.
We were here at 1 o'clock in the morning by the Statue of Liberty, but we stayed until 8 o'clock. By 8 o'clock, we were over by the building. All had to do process, another process again, all this much of papers and everything, so you hang it over your body because you got your child, you got your food for.
What did you take with you? What did you have to take with you?
Not much. Because we didn't get some things, very, very, not much at all, no. Because where you get it, you know.
When did you, do you remember feeling safe? When the boat was leaving Europe, when you were across, was there a point where you suddenly just felt, how do I explain this, just felt safe now that you put Europe behind you?
Yes, we were very safe and very happy and that we went to America because we heard so much goodies about America, and America is good, free, and opportunity for the people who care, who work and save, because some people they think they dollars grow on the trees. But I wasn't. I knew that you have to work and you have to save, otherwise you'd be poor again.
What did you think when you saw, you said you pulled in by the Statue of Liberty mm-hmm. at 1 o'clock in the morning.
In the morning, but we just stayed there and for
did
a while.
Did you see the statue? I mean, were you brought up on deck to see the statue?
Yes. Especially, in the morning. I can't go on the deck because she was with me, no. But in the morning, it was already light, and then we stayed. I said, oh, boy. Then sometime I said, I'm going to come see. And we went over there to see about 8 years ago or so.
And then they took you from the Statue of Liberty in the morning. They took you to Ellis Island?
Yes. 8 o'clock we started the process in the morning.
Describe all that to me. What was Ellis Island like, and what did they do there?
Well, first of all, we went to the like bridge or things like that, and they were, inspectors again with the papers and everything, if you were the ones and things like that, but the guy be careful. And then we went on already and they told us where to go because the sponsors were there to meet you. And they serve you like food, donuts and different things to eat. And then they introduced us here and there. We walking around. And then we were there all day until 7 o'clock at night. And the minibus came over and take us to the train station. And they put us over on the train and then told us, the conductor, to keep eye on us because we do not understand English. We got just only some tag. So we went...
So how long were you at Ellis Island then?
About all day, yes. And then we came on a train to the Utica, New York, you heard, over there, 12 o'clock at night, and the farmer was there already waiting for us and brought us on a farm.
You must have been exhausted after all of this, going from place to place.
You know, when you're young and you look forward for something, you're not... But when we came on a farm and sleep on a attic, that wasn't my dream. I blew me, I cry all night like the baby. I was shocked. I expected to be different. It was hot and somehow that May was awful hot. And then they even were there. They sprayed the water over the roof because we slept. It was really hot. But we were grateful that brought. They were good enough to bring us over here. So we didn't have no. And after a while, we work and we got our own place. Took a while, but.
Did you stay in that town?
There was no town. Just a farm.
The farm, but I mean, in that part of upstate
New York. Yeah.
How long did you stay? Did you actually stay with the farmer?
We stayed from May till following February. Then we moved to Herkimer, New York, and we worked in a factory.
Tell me a little bit about what it was like getting adjusted to this country. What was the hardest thing for you to get adjusted to?
You know, one thing it was that I couldn't talk open about two Polish people, which understand they were old immigration or someone was born here, they speak Polish too. Somehow they don't like us. And I talked to them about, you know, things. And then there was one girl, she was Slavish. She speaks Slavish, but I could understand. She said, don't talk to them. Don't say anything about your business because they are somehow, they don't like you, they are jealous about you. Well, same thing happened with her. They call her the P and she came home, she cry, and even they send her the farmers. The old lady, she wasn't pleasant at all. God bless her that she helped us to bring over. But she sent her, she said, you better go back to Hitler. You know, it hurts though. Your own people. But the English, I mean, or American, you know, they, I mean English, not our, like, Slavish, they were different. They work on us, different than the other ones.
Was there a big Polish population in Herkimer?
Yes, quite a bit, yes. Mm-hmm.
What work did your husband get?
He worked in a furniture factory, so did I.
Doing what? Tell me about the first job you got when you got here.
Oh, we first thing we work on a farm. Yes, then that's,
you
know.
You were used to that.
I don't want to do that anymore, but I have to living. So
God.
We make, when we came here, we make $125 in the first $100, and then $125 for both of us. No,
on the farm.
On the farm. And they, but give us milk and things like that, a roof over our house. And then we moved to Herkimer. So we went to the, maybe you heard, Standard Furniture Company.
Standard Furniture?
Yes, we were there. And working. My husband was finisher-like, and I was assembler. So I put furniture together with the hammer, electric drill, and hand grill, and pulled the big trucks and everything. But somehow I was happy that I make some money. I got my big first check. I said, oh, I kiss him. I said, I'm going to put frame. But I couldn't because I needed money. It was, American people work there, and we were not welcome. You can see they don't say much, but we were not welcome. Some people, they were either jealous of you or some. I really don't know. They were not our own people.
That's interesting.
Yes.
What did you do with your daughter while you were working?
We got babysitting. I mean, babysitting. And she was 4 years old when I started work. So she stayed with... we live upstairs and the lady lived downstairs, so she took care of her. And then she go to school and there was... school was right there and we were right there, so it wasn't any problems to just have babysitting.
How did you learn English?
I should speak better English. One thing, I didn't go to school because I couldn't, because you gotta go to work and she, you know. So I went just quite a bit, but with her, to get citizen paper. And after, she didn't want to speak Polish to us because right away she pick up, you know, young child pick so quick English that I said, Jenny, when she talked to me, in English, I didn't say anything. So she knew that I want her to speak Polish to me. Because, not because I was against it, but I figured she never forget English, because she's going to go to school and she's going to learn. But Polish, she will. And that's why we speak Polish a lot at home, that I should speak better. But now she appreciates because she speaks Polish. And
was it hard for you to learn English? Was it hard to pick up the language?
Not the language, but the writing, spelling. Because we never, people don't spell in Europe. So that spelling is really hard. I can read quite a bit. I read, like now I've got time. But spelling is really...
What about your husband?
He was somehow... can expose to himself. He was like embarrassed the way he talks, and he didn't... he write better and things like that, but speaking, he had hard time to. He was afraid that they're gonna laugh at him or things like that. But for me now, if I don't know anybody, I keep quiet. Like we should get a party, things like that. But if I know now people, the friends, what the heck? I said I'm the way I talk, but everybody, but people who don't know who I was and that I had accent, they look at me, and you look at me, they know that I got big accent, but I said, well, just the way I talk, that's all.
Well, now, if there was a large Polish population in Herkimer, you probably didn't actually have to speak English that much. Did you tend to speak Polish with your friends? Certainly in the home.
Oh, yeah, in the home, we speak all the time in Polish. Because I can't count on her. But between people, some, they were Polish, they didn't speak Polish either, or just broken, because some maybe was fourth generation already, so they speak, but not much. So I tried to speak Polish, the co-workers, they were English and things like that, I try anyway.
What was it about America that you really loved? What aspect of America that you just thought was the most wonderful thing?
Well, one thing, we didn't have freedom in Germany. So the freedom was the thing that you can go to church, you can speak, and you can write, and you can talk about, even in Poland. We were free. We were all only one national, like all in Polish people, 99% anyway, back. But, teachers or even priests or a little bit higher than the ordinary people, you have to pick your head, like for the men, and you have to bow and you have to kiss the hand and things like that. They didn't respect the ordinary people from the city or even priests. He think he was the Almighty, not like over here. You can go to him, you shake your hands, you talk to him freely, like I talk to you or to her. But in Poland you couldn't, and it was free Poland. So the freedom, and to teacher, you have to call by Mr. or Mrs. Even older people. Or to priests, kiss the hand, and things like that. And they think that you were nothing. Like, I live over here. My next-door neighbor, who was high-educated man, engineering, he was for GE, they really respect me. Another, on the other side, is vice president of the bank. And they talk to me like I talk to, to my family. And next one was his lawyer. He comes over by my house. They walk. People walk over here a lot. And he introduced himself. And I don't know who he was. And he's now I find out that he's lawyer. And in Poland, do you think they would talk to me?
So this was very hard to get used to when you got here, was it?
That to talk to them, to by the name, call a lawyer by the name in Europe, God forbid, or even to teacher or to, and she's a teacher, she do her housework, she does everything. In Europe, they have one teacher, one house man, maid, It's amazing, believe me. What's the difference?
So that really struck you?
Yes, that struck me still yet. Yes.
Did you want to bring your parents over?
They don't even they.
But you did reestablish contact with them once you.
Oh yes, here. First thing, you know what I did? I got something from Germany. I know I'm not gonna work here. First thing, we got the checks. We sent them packages. We were poor, but so they were amazed, though.
Did what was your mother's reaction to you coming to America?
I didn't talk to my mother after, but when I came, went visit my sister, my old, younger sister, she said that my mother and her and the family talk how lucky I am to come to America.
Yes. Were they sad, though, that you didn't make the decision to go back to Poland?
Absolutely not. Because they are, oh, of course, oh yeah, you know. But when she went after 19, after two, when she was in college, and they went like tour, and then she went to see her grandfather and the family, and then she said they treat her like queen because she was from America.
Did you ever regret making the decision to come to America?
Never. Even because my first husband died, just dropped dead. He was only 45. That was shock to me.
But what year was that? Do you remember?
1965. It's going to be 26 years. 27 already.
And then when did you remarry?
6 years later, 1971. Yeah.
But you never. You were always happy you made that decision.
Oh yes. I would never. You know. When I was there visiting, my sister said when I was ready to go back. I was there for a month. She said, "Aren't you sad to go back to America?" I said, "Amelia, no, I'm not sad. This was my, it still is. You know, that was born here, brought up. But that is my country over there now, and adopted country and." Now America is first and Poland is second because that is my bread and butter and I was happy. And I never regret and I, like many times I said to people, people are some, you know, are complaining about this country because they never know any different. I said, don't complain, just say, God bless America, that's all I said.
Well, I think this is probably a good place to end, actually. I think we've brought your immigration experience full circle. I want to thank you very much for letting me
welcome.
Come out to
you're
Clifton
welcome.
Park.
Yeah.
And it was a wonderful story. Mm-hmm. You've certainly been through a lot.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. This is Paul Segrist signing off in Clifton Park.
Okay.